Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. We're in the middle of taking 21 days to focus on prayer and fasting. Pastor Nicole is leading us through a series called Pray More, where she's examined some practical ways that we can increase the effectiveness of our prayer lives. Last week, Pastor Don Fisher discussed the prayer of Jabez and how we could experience God's presence and protection in our lives through prayer. Today, Pastor Nicole returns to talk about how we can pray the scriptures. There is power when we pray God's words and promises back to God, and that's what she's going to discuss today. If you'd like to follow along with our resource guide that contains fasting tips and a prayer plan that accompanies each of the messages in this series, you can find that link in the show notes. So let's get started and discover the power that can be unlocked when we pray more. Here's Pastor Nicole.
So there was a boy who worked in the produce section of the supermarket. And a woman came in and asked him a strange question. She said, "I would like to buy half a head of lettuce." And the boy told him, "Well, we only sell whole heads of lettuce because that's how God made them." But the woman replied, "You amen to that. This is going to be a good day." All right, so the woman replied, "You mean to tell me that after all these years of shopping here, I cannot buy a half a head of lettuce?" And the boy said, "All right, I'll ask the manager." So he walks back into the room where the manager is, and he says to his boss, "You know, there's some moron customer out there who wants to buy only half a head of lettuce. What do you want me to do about it?" And as the boy turned around, the woman was standing right behind him. So he quickly said, "And this nice lady wants to buy the other half." So I'm trying to figure it out. Words can get us in trouble, can't they? Our tongue, our mouth, it is a dangerous thing. And the things that we say matter. The things that we say to each other matter. The things that we say in our head and we let them sneak out matter. The things that we say to ourselves matter. And the things that we say to God matter. We're in this series, it's called Pray More, and today we're looking at how to pray scripture. If you haven't already, I want you to get this Pray More book on your way out today. Raise your hand if you've used this at all this week. Have you used this as the series is going? All right, this is encouraging. So in this book, you're going to find all kinds of prayer guides, and particularly our neighborhood prayer walk challenge. Pastor Quint was at the map this morning, and he told me that some Edinburgh and McCain need some prayer people, okay? So we don't have any pins at Edinburgh and McCain, so if you live out that way, or if you just want to take a long country drive out that direction and pray, we need some pins in that area. We want to cover this entire region with prayer during this series. And so, as we continue today, we're going to talk about praying scripture. I'm just giving you different ways, different guides of how to pray. And so I want to start in Proverbs 18:21. I asked Pastor Andy if he'd stay up here today and help me read some scripture. So would you start in Proverbs 18:21 for us?
"The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences."
Oof. Words, they bring life. They bring death. If your words give life, they're words of encouragement, peace, hope, joy, unity, wisdom, correction, instruction. When your words bring death, they're like words of anger, slander, jealousy, judgment, condemnation. The scripture says every word has weight. Gary Chapman is an author, and he uses maybe the most vivid metaphor I've ever heard. And he says every word is either a bullet or a seed. A bullet or a seed. And if words bring death or life, then that means you have never spoken a neutral word in your life. You have never spoken a neutral word in your life. Either your words have brought life or death to someone else or to yourself. Matthew 12:36 gives us a very strong warning. Pastor Andy, would you read that today?
"But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken."
We can go home now, right? I mean, that is such a challenge. That every single time we open up our mouth, someday we will stand before God And he will judge whether our words were life or whether our words brought death. And so if we believe our words have power, power to shift our mood, to change our circumstance, to give us encouragement, to push us forward or to make us quit, then how much more powerful are God's words? If our words can do things like that, how much more powerful are the words of God, the Creator, the omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing God? How much more powerful are those? God's words hold incredible power. In fact, we see in Genesis 1, God declared, "Let there be light," and the Holy Spirit released light. The darkness remained until Jesus interceded and spoke God's word over the darkness to release God's creative power. Just his words created light. In fact, in the creation of the world, the phrase "and God said" is found 10 times in Genesis 1. Do you want to know why you're here today and why the earth is spinning today and why we have oxygen to breathe today? Because God said it. God said it. That's how powerful his words are. God's words are full of spirit, full of life, and they create things. Psalm 33:6, what does that say?
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth.
God's words, incredible power. And so when we pray, when we intercede, we can pray back God's words to him. In fact, by definition, intercession is agreeing with what God promises to do. If you're an intercessor, if you're saying, "I'm going to intercede for you," if you're going to do intercessory prayer, what you are doing is agreeing with what God has already promised to do. Intercession means to intervene on the behalf of another person or yourself, that we declare truths related to God's promises and God's words. And in moments of intercession, we are agreeing with what God already promised. We're not making promises. We're not saying empty, hopeful, wishful things. We hope you have a good life. We hope this works out for you. We are declaring truths that God already promised. You know, if you study the prayers of the Bible, you begin to notice that the prayers God honors and answers are those often that repeat his promises back to him. I want to show you one example in Genesis 32 of Jacob. It's a great example in the Old Testament. And at the beginning of Jacob's life, God had prophesied, before Jacob was even born actually, that the blessing would be his. That he would have the blessing, not his brother Esau. But as we walk through the story, things were not going that way. Okay, that was not looking like that was going to be the reality. And I want to read in Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12, and see what happens.
Then Jacob prayed, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown to your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted."
So Jacob is reminding God, "Hey, listen, this was your deal. This is what you promised. This is what you said. Lord, I am just praying the things that you said that I can count on it. I can cash in the check that you already wrote because you made these promises to me." That evening, after this particular passage, Jacob had a supernatural encounter with God, and he described it as wrestling with a man until daybreak. And Jacob laid hold of the promise of God through a night of prayer. He would not let go of the promises of God. He wrestled probably with himself. He wrestled with the truths in his mind. He wrestled with the lies that began to tell him that God wasn't faithful. And his stubborn determination paid off because he got the blessing that he had been promised all along. God's words are powerful. And intercession, speaking God's words back to him in prayer, is God's brilliant strategy to include all of us into bringing heaven to earth. It's so simple, anyone can do it, yet it releases more power than any other prayer activity in which we can engage. Do you know that there are 3,000 promises of God in the scripture? 3,000. And we can ask God for all of them. Those are things that God already said that we can stand on the truth that they will be. You know, one thing that I personally hate, I don't know about you, is having a gift card with like 59 cents left on it. Anybody out there? I have like a stack of gift cards like this much in my purse. Joel's always like, get these out of here. I'm like, no, that's $1.25 to Waldemere. When I go to Waldemere next, I'm gonna use my $1.25 on 1/4 of a pretzel, probably not even, right? You know, or I have 79 cents at O'Charlie's, let's go there for lunch. Really? Like that's, they're tricking you, okay? Like they're trying to get you there with that 79 cents. But I hate that. I will carry those things around for me for months because I do not want to miss out on whatever, if it was a gift card from someone else or something I bought, that is my money. And so I Googled, is there anybody out there like me? And I Googled it and it said, every year, $5.8 billion worth of gift cards go unclaimed. $5 billion. So there's $5.8 billion in our purses or wallets that won't get used. And these are benefits that have already been purchased, but will go unused. Are you following me? All of God's promises are yes in Christ. All of them.
Yes, Lord. Come on.
And the question is, what promises are left unclaimed for your family? What promises are left unclaimed for your life? Of the 3,000 promises that God gives to us, which are you leaving unused? Listen, don't let 59 cents stay in your pocket for Walmart and not go to the Lord when you're not experiencing the promises that God puts in the scripture that we can believe. God promises and he makes good on every single one.
Yes, Lord.
Now, the Holy Spirit has set precedents that he moves in response to God's word spoken by his people. We see that over and over in scripture. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to. And he gives us the tools. He gives us the words to pray powerfully. One of my favorite stories that I read about intercessory prayer came from an author and a pastor named Tony Campolo. He was at a college speaking, and 8 men were praying over him before he preached. And they're praying for him, and one of the men kind of got off on a little tangent, which happens sometimes when we pray, doesn't it? Okay, he's thinking about something else, and he's off on a little tangent, and he starts praying for a friend. And Tony didn't know that friend, and in fact, he says in his book, he's like a little annoyed because he's about to go up and speak, and this guy's praying about something else, whatever. But the man is praying, and he says something like, Dear Lord, you know my friend Charlie Stolfus. He lives in that silver trailer down the road about a mile. You know that blue trailer, that one that has the cracked awning on it, that one. Just down the road on the right-hand side. And Tony's like, seriously, God knows where this guy lives. All right, keep going, you know. Lord, Charlie told me this morning he's going to leave his wife and 3 kids. And so step in. Would you do something, God? Would you bring that family back together? And the prayer time ends. And in this book, Tony writes that he goes up, he delivers his message, he gets in his car to drive home, and he's driving on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and he notices a hitchhiker, and he picks him up. I do not recommend, okay, this is not a story, do not recommend that, but he picks up this hitchhiker, and I want to read to you the excerpt. We drove a few minutes, and I said, hi, my name's Tony, what's yours? He said, my name's Charlie Stolfus. Tony said, I couldn't believe it. I got off the turnpike at the next exit and I circled back. And he got a bit uneasy with that. And after a few minutes, he said, hey, mister, where are you taking me? I said, I'm taking you home. He narrowed his eyes and asked, why? I said, because you just left your wife and 3 kids, right? That blew him away. Yeah, that's right. With shock written all over his face, he plastered himself against the car door. He never took his eyes off me. Tony writes, then I really did him in as I drove right to his silver trailer. with the cracked awning and the blue color. And when I pulled up, his eyes seemed to bulge as he asked, "How did you know that I lived here?" And I said, "God told me." And when he opened the trailer door, his wife exclaimed, "You're back, you're back." And he whispered in her ear, and the more he talked, the bigger her eyes got. And then I said with real authority, "The two of you sit down. I'm going to talk to you, and you're going to listen." And man, did they listen. And that afternoon, I led those two people to faith in Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
See, intercession is agreeing with what God is already working on. It's agreeing with what God is already promising to do. It's not coming to God and saying, "Here's how it's going to go, God. Let me give you the plan." It's saying, "God, I know your word and I know your promises and I know that you are good for them. So I'm going to pray in faith these promises and I'm going to walk them out in great expectation." Prayer is a practical expression of the commandment to love one another, because it's part of the process that helps bring people into a moment of what they need. Prayer brings what is needed and it releases it from the ultimate giver. Part of what God is always doing is making wrong things right. And that's what we just saw in this story. But every time we speak God's words over someone, we are speaking a measure of justice. We're releasing this measure of justice over them. And sometimes we don't know what to do about all of the injustices in the world. I don't know about you, but we might feel overwhelmed with the amount of bad news that's going on, the mixed-up political system, the disappointment we have in leadership, the economy. We may feel overwhelmed and frustrated by even our own lives, things that are happening or things that are not happening. Listen, there's a lot wrong with our world, and we're often put in situations that just aren't right or not fair. But when you intercede, you're doing something about those injustices. You might not feel like you're doing anything, but when you intercede, when you pray God's words back to him, you are releasing a measure of justice right into the situation. You are releasing a measure of justice right into the heart of the people. If you are in a position right now where you are thinking, "I just don't know what to do," let me tell you what to do. Pray God's words into the situation. Pray God's promises into that situation. Because we don't know what to do, but God always knows what to do. God always knows what's needed. God always knows what to do next. I want Pastor Andy to read Luke 18, 1 through 8. It's a story about prayer and about a judge.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?"
You know, Jesus did not give this parable to say that God was like the unjust judge. Jesus was telling us God is unlike him. Our God is a righteous, wonderful judge. He is a judge of perfect and good character. He loves and cares for his children. We come to a judge who is kind and gracious, a judge who knows us personally, a judge that has personal interest in our case, a judge who is not slow to respond or slow to listen. That's the kind of judge that we have. And God loves to answer our prayers. God loves to help us when we pray. And so don't stop praying. Keep interceding. There is power in words, and there is power in God's words. All right, just one last passage I want to look at today from Luke 6, 38.
"Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you."
So the measure that we give in prayer will be measured back to us. This is such an amazing promise from God. It does not matter for who we pray. Prayer will always multiply the blessing to us. Even when we pray for our enemies, which we're commanded to do by Jesus, and we end up being blessed by the prayers we pray on their behalf. Let me give you an example. When we pray for the release of a spirit of wisdom on our enemies, we receive wisdom as well. When we pray for our enemies to hear and know God's voice more clearly, we receive the ability to hear and know God's voice more clearly. God's words are never bullets. They're always seeds. They always have a return. And so when we are praying and we are investing and we are planting those seeds in other people, God is growing something up in us. God knows we will love the local church more if we pray for it regularly. God knows we will love lost people more if we ask God to redeem them. God knows we'll love our mom more if we pray for her. God knows we'll love our kids more. We'll love our friends more. If we pray for our future spouse, we will love that person more when we meet them. Listen, if you plant God's seeds, words right now, God is growing something up in the future. God is doing something more than we can even see or imagine. The Lord gave me an image like a computer programmer who writes many lines of many code developing a computer program. And spiritually, when we intercede, we are doing something comparable. We write a line of code on our hearts every time we speak God's words back to him in prayer. Every time we say something that is in agreement with God, it's like code being written on our heart, changing us, transforming us, turning us into the person that God wants us to be, helping us having the mind of Christ. And the more we pray this way, the more we can pray the will of God, the more we can understand what God sees and what he's doing. And over the years, the change inside of us will be profound. And I really believe that we may never know the evils, the situations that we will avoid in our inner lives if we are interceding for others. We don't know what God's rewriting in there and what would happen if we hadn't prayed. We don't know that yet. Maybe someday we will. But as we're doing it, we are rewriting the code on our heart, and we keep praying, we keep making it a priority, and God keeps working and keeps planting. And someday you may not sow that seed. That may not grow up in the amount of time that you want it to, but never doubt that God is planting those things. The more you pray for grace for other people, the more grace you get. The more financial provision you pray for other people, the more financial provision you get. Listen, you plant things, sow them. The more things that you ask the Lord for others, God grows up in you. In your Pray More book, I have an example of how to pray more in scripture. I provided some verses for you to pray this week. You can practice praying more from scripture. But here's what we're gonna do next. I asked a few of my friends here to come up and pray God's word as an example, because it can feel and sound different for each of us. So we can just have another measure, another release of the Holy Spirit. So the worship team's gonna come back in. And Jeff and Deb and Lori, would you come up? And would you stand? I want you to be ready to just receive these promises of God over you. And these men and women are just going to give you an example of how you can pray through scripture, like we talked about, and activate God's promises in our lives.
If I could just take a brief moment and testify, what Nicole preached this morning, powerful. About 10 years ago, our company was struggling financially. And so the Lord had me develop a prayer strategy of the Word of God that I would pray regularly and consistently and just agree with God's Word. And it's a miracle what God did in our company through that prayer strategy. So I would just encourage you, if you have areas in your life that you're struggling or frustrating and difficult, develop that prayer strategy that she has talked about this morning and watch what God will do. I'd like to pray over 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Father God, we always thank you for Erie First Assembly of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that is upon us. Father, I thank you for this beautiful church family that is such an amazing blessing to me, to my family, and to all who attend here. So we give you thanks for your good grace that has been poured out here. For in him, you have been enriched in every way. Father God, we thank you for how you have enriched us, how you have blessed us in so many wondrous ways, Father God, that we do not lack any spiritual gifts. I thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you have enriched this church body with words of wisdom, words of counsel and discernment, with divine healing, Father, even what you did for my wife 2 years ago. Father, we rejoice that when there's a word of knowledge that is needed, that it is here within this body, within this church family. Whenever there is miraculous powers that are needed to be at work, Father God, I thank you that you've enriched this church family with those spiritual giftings. And we say thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ as we eagerly await his return. He will keep you strong to the end. Father God, thank you that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is by the written word, God, that you will keep us strong, Lord Jesus. Even in these days of evil, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who keeps us strong and blameless as we await the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
I want to declare scripture, Ephesians 6, 13 through 19. Lord, we declare that after standing firm in truth and righteousness and walking with you, that we choose to take up the shield of faith, believing in you, God, of the impossible, who knows and sees and hears everything in every situation, that every flaming arrow, every drama, every trauma aimed at us by the enemy of our souls would be extinguished, and that as we put on the helmet of salvation, which is you, Jesus, who saved us and are transforming us by the washing of your alive and active word, the sword of the Spirit, that we also take up because it divides between soul and spirit and judges the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And we choose, Lord, to obey your word by praying in the Spirit, our heavenly language given by you on all occasions, and with all kinds of prayers, speaking to you and declaring on your behalf, interceding, making faith-centered requests and thanksgiving, that we will be alert always to stand in the gap for all of your people. And we remember, Lord, to pray for our leaders and our co-laborers, that they may be given the words to fearlessly make known the mystery of your gospel. Amen.
So I'm going to read from Colossians 1, verse 9 through 12, and it reads, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." And so the Lord just gave me a list, and I'm going to just run the list down because we're in agreement with these prayers, okay? That's what Pastor Nicole Asada says. We are coming into agreement with the truth. And so if you're in the room, this is your moment to come into agreement with the truth, not Lori, not Pastor Nicole, with the truth of the word of the Lord. So if you're here and you're like, I got a burden in my heart that won't leave, this is your moment to come into agreement with the truth. If you are here and you are worrying and the Lord said, lay all your burdens at his feet, then this is your time to come to the altar and leave those worries at the altar. If you are here and you are dealing with uncertainties, you have a lot of questions and you're trying to figure out, do I stay? Do I go? Should I move? Should I stay? Is Jesus real? Is he not real? The Lord said, this is your time to come. He's going to give you answers. Come down if you are breaking agreement with lies. The enemy has been lying to some of you, telling you you are nobody, that you have no purpose, that life is not worth living. This is your time to come down into agreement with the truth. And if pride is a struggle, then this is your time to come down and have agreement with the truth. And then we're going to just pray into that. So if that is you, this is your time. And so we're just going to look to heaven as I pray us close. Mama Masiti Andarababa. Says Jesus, we give you honor and praise, Lord. We thank you, Father, for giving us knowledge into all things. We come into agreement with your truth. We thank you, Jesus, because you steadily make intercession for us. So, Lord, we thank you that you don't stop praying for us, that you don't stop guiding us, that you don't stop giving us insight. So, Lord, I just thank you for your sons and your daughters, Lord, who are in this room, and we are dealing with burdens, Lord, dealing with worry, Lord, dealing with uncertainty, Father, needing guidance. I thank you that your truth and your word is our guidance, that your word is a map and it is a light unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So Lord, we just come into agreement with the truth, Lord. Lord, I thank you that your sons and daughters will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. We come into agreement with your truth, Lord. Lord, I thank you for opening us to a new place of wisdom, that your sons and daughters will function in a new level of wisdom in you. We come into agreement, Jesus, with your truth. So, Father, cover us. Walk with us as we continue to learn to pray more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every stronghold.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Come on, let's sing that again. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you give us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.